Welcome to the Monlica Partner Connections Podcast, the first of many in a series. Today, we have a great topic for you all. The topic is From Risk to Resilience, Building a Culture of Patient Safety in Healthcare. We have two fabulous guests on the line today. We have Rebecca Love, who is a nurse executive and entrepreneur, and also Amanda Ball, who is a health economics manager at Monlica Healthcare. So first to start off, let's have an introduction from Rebecca.
Kendra, thank you so much for having me. And really, I'm excited to talk about this very important topic. As you mentioned, I've been an experienced nurse executive, and I've spent my entire career focusing on the future of healthcare as it impacts the nursing workforce and the impact that nurses have on driving forward patient safety, quality, and most importantly, sustainability across our healthcare system. So it's an honor to be here with you and Amanda. Amanda?
Thanks, Rebecca and Kendra. I'm very excited to be here as well today and to have Rebecca interacting with our team to discuss these very important topics. I am also a nurse, and as Kendra mentioned, health economics solution manager here at Monlica Healthcare in the Southeast. So Rebecca, I'd love to jump into our first topic of conversation today. How would you describe the state of nursing and clinical frontline workforce?
Yeah, so Amanda, it's a great question. And I think we've all been wondering what's going on with nursing since the pandemic, because nursing took the headlines during the COVID pandemic. And in the last 2 years, we've actually seen some tremendous changes within the nursing workforce. So just a quick couple statistics for you. There are 5 million nurses in the United States, making nursing not only the largest healthcare profession, but the largest profession in the United States. Since the pandemic, we saw that during the pandemic, about 200,000 nurses retired their nursing license, which decreased the average age of nursing from 52 in the United States down to the average age of 47. But some of the most interesting statistics that have led since the pandemic is that the United States graduates 185,000 nursing students a year, making nursing the largest profession to graduate in college degree programs in the country. But nearly 56% of new nursing graduates leave the bedside within 2 years of practice, making nursing the largest exit of any profession within its first couple of years of any degreed professional in the United States. And what that has meant since the pandemic is that the average length of experience on a 12-hour shift decreased from 6 years of length of experience on a 12-hour shift prior to the pandemic to just 2.7 years of experience on a 12-hour shift currently across the United States. And with that, we've seen a rise of a number of issues, increasing burnout, stress, but more importantly, impacts to patient outcomes, quality, and safety at some of the highest levels of adverse effects that we have ever experienced in the time of healthcare that we have been tracking that data. So really excited to be here and talk about that. But that is currently the size of what we're dealing with in the United States and what's going on the front lines of nursing.
Wow, Rebecca, that information is really insightful. And I think really important to take in consideration when we think about the impact that that's having on quality care in the US. Can you tell me a little about that and how you see that?
Yeah, I think during the time of the pandemic, we sort of stopped being able to track serious and high harm events because of the way that it was going. But what we've seen in the course of the last couple of years is an increase in sentinel events that are occurring. It was reported across multiple different industry partners. The state of Pennsylvania, for example, in 2023, received over 287,000 reports of serious and high harm events, which was a significant increase from 2022. The reports of serious events actually increased by 20.6%, and high harm events increased by 25%, the largest annual increase ever before on record. This was then followed up by reports by the Joint Commission's annual report that sentinel events found these patient safety breaches increased from 19% from 2021, by 19%. And according to a more recent study by the New England Journal of Medicine, they found that in 2023, that 24% of admissions, or 1 in 4, will include an adverse event regarding the patient. This is something we've never seen before in healthcare. And the concerns are, what is the impact and what is the nursing workforce impact with regards to this kind of change that adverse effects are up so significantly?
I'm just sitting here digesting everything you said, because that is quite significant. Being a nurse myself and being in healthcare organizations, even as a patient, there definitely has been a shift. So seeing it, feeling it, and hearing about it really drives home the impact that we've seen in the last few years. So in addition to what we discussed, what impact is quality having on the financial stability of healthcare? We know that there's been a significant impact on quality itself, but how would you link those two factors together?
I think we know that there is irrefutable evidence that quality around our nursing workforce, length of experience that a nurse has at the bedside, a sheer number of patients that a nurse has to care for that is in their care actively, all directly impacts the quality and the patient outcomes that exist. And right now, what I feel and what we've witnessed from the incredible increase in the amount of nurses who have gone on strikes in the last year, in fact, 2023 was the highest year ever that nurses have went on strike across the country and in fact, the world, is that our environment is not getting better. And that whatever we're doing at the front lines is actually not improving the outcomes for patients, but it's actually worsening it. And I think some of the conversations that we should be having as organizations are we providing tools for nurses, or are we simply providing more tasks for nurses to do? And I think that there has been this movement that more technology is going to drive better patient outcomes. But the question remains is actually, is more of this technology that we're adding actually driving nurses' inability to provide the care that they want to because they're spending more time focusing on technology and tasks as opposed to patient care? And I think what we're seeing is as patient quality goes down and adverse effects go up, we're directly hitting the bottom lines and the operating budgets of hospitals, which are already at risk. The average margin of a hospital or operating budget is just 2-7%. So every time they have to pay out for an adverse event, that is dollars taken away from being able to support the functions of the hospital and more staff and more resources to go and deal with settling lawsuits that are quickly debilitating our healthcare systems in what we know is a highly litigious society that we live in today. And I think the question is how do we integrate healthcare organizations and evidence-based practice together to drive better outcomes?
Really great content, Rebecca. One thing I want to mention is Mölnlycke supports healthcare organizations with clinician and evidence-based focused practices. Our solutions help address hospital-acquired conditions that healthcare organizations are looking to overcome, like you mentioned. Our products, the instructions for use, and our clinical tools are designed to especially align with recommendations from highly regarded organizations such as Joint Commission, AORN, NPIP, CDC, and American College of Surgeons. It's really important at the end of the day to consider the impact of a product on clinical and financial outcomes, not just the cost of a singular item, but rather the impact that item can have on the bottom line, like you mentioned. Having the right tools means, at the end of the day, better patient outcomes and more engaged employees. The quality of equipment really directly impacts people's lives and the outcomes these healthcare organizations are experiencing.
I'm just saying that exactly. And I think the truth is that you all are looking at solving problems in a way that is providing the support necessary for organizations to be successful. Because the truth is we can no longer just step into healthcare systems, give them a device or a product, and expect them to be able to implement the use of that product without the support of our systems behind them, making sure that they're driving the right outcomes and they're also innovating as necessary within the clinical settings that we're in. So I just wanted to applaud what you were saying and what you are doing, because I think that is the future of the way that industry is going to have to work with our healthcare organizations to be successful, to continue to drive better patient outcomes.
I appreciate that on behalf of Mölnlycke. We really feel passionately about helping our customers in this way. One more question I have is, what are the quality metrics that are driving direct reimbursement? As we've discussed, many of these quality indicators throughout the presentation.
Absolutely. So the truth is, hospitals are measured by basically CMS standards. Everyone on this call is probably well aware that the vast majority of reimbursement comes through insurance, which is largely triggered and monitored by CMS. The truth is that they look at all sorts of patient outcomes, everything from LOS, HACs, and readmissions, hospital-acquired infections, pressure ulcers, all of these that actually are triggering greater amount of cost to hospital systems. The more adverse effects that happen and take place within hospital systems, the less reimbursement those hospitals are going to have in the following year. In fact, CMS has come to a place that actually they are now doing clawbacks, which means they have given money to hospitals, but actually take that money back from hospitals if they don't obtain and achieve the metrics of patient outcomes that they have set forward as a hospital organization. All this means is that more adverse effects trigger audits that are costly, lead to greater fines and additional headaches that drive forward greater contention within our hospital systems, making it feel more punitive to the front line as opposed to more collaborative to solving the problems that are in front of them. As a nurse, Amanda, you know, and so do I, that the most frustrating thing is to be at the front line trying to care for patients and making mistakes because you simply do not have the tools you need to drive the outcomes that you care about most. And when you are in situations, when you are standing between life and death for patients, because you are the one responsible as the nurse to manage those outcomes, the truth is we need industry to be supporting the work of the frontline nurse, innovating with the frontline nurse, engaging with those nurses to create the products that we most desperately need so that together all of us in healthcare can thrive. And most importantly, the patients that are in that bed can get home to their families at the end of that stay. And I think that is the goal, because with our current direction of what we're going, the truth is that with the amount of decreasing experience of nurses at the bedside, with the associated rise in adverse events, we must be thinking differently to stop the direction, because the truth is our hospitals cannot financially afford the direction in which these adverse events are taking them and by the which and rate in which they are increasing.
All very relatable, both as the individual nurse at the bedside and then in my role as a wound care nurse as well prior to coming to Mölnlycke. So we know pressure injuries cost the U.S. a lot of money, billions of dollars a year, specifically between $3 and $11 billion a year. The cost of prevention can be really unclear to organizations, and it also can fluctuate depending on the patient acuity and the census of a healthcare organization. There's a lot of literature out there, specifically one piece that I want to talk about today. And that leads us to how do hospitals want to overcome some of these quality challenges that they're having, but more specifically also sustaining the low rates or the decrease in patient harm that they may have been experiencing in the past. So an article that I want to talk just a minute about is one that was published in the British Medical Journal titled Sustainable Pressure Injury Prevention. The authors in this article applied an adaptive leadership model. The quality team at this organization used a PDSA model to approach the identified problem of hospital-acquired pressure injuries specifically. The findings from the gap analysis that they conducted allowed the quality team to plan and then implement a strategy to decrease hospital-acquired pressure injuries that improved operational efficiency and work-life quality. I think that's really important based on some of the things, Rebecca, you've mentioned today during this podcast. The team was able to standardize both product and process across the organization. This allowed them to implement evidence-based pressure injury prevention bundle that included Mölnlycke solutions. The products served as multifunctional products that also helped decrease the workload for the caregivers at the bedside and benefited the patients for both the treatment and prevention of wounds. When you look at the summary of the content in this article, it led to a 90% reduction in pressure injuries. That's so significant. The simplified pressure injury prevention bundle that they applied and the approach led to sustainable results over a four-year period. That is really something they should be proud about, because it's not just a product. It is also about the process and having the right people involved as well. The authors noted sustainable results, which were achieved at their organization by implementing a nursing process, which is operationally efficient and improved work-life satisfaction for their team. I think that is so significant, and it really helps to bring a lot of the topics we talked about today together. The stress on the workforce, the challenges with clinical outcomes that we've experienced coming out of this post-COVID season, along with things such as making sure we're sustaining the results and having an impact on that bottom line as well because of the financial yield, reducing the harm on patients and the extra cost that is associated with that for an organization. So Rebecca, I just want to say thank you so much for spending time with us here at Mölnlycke. Your insights are really great, and I'm sure listeners will appreciate what we discussed today. If people want to learn more about you and the work you're doing, how can they do that?
All right, well, thank you, Amanda. You know, if anybody wants to reach out to me, LinkedIn is the best channel. Please find me, Rebecca Love Nurse, on LinkedIn. And the truth is that what you are talking about here absolutely is impacting the financial lines of our hospital systems. Everything from length of stays to hospital-acquired infections are becoming the responsibility of all of us in healthcare to look at how we're going to be able to do better when we have less nurses on the front line to deliver this care. And some of the statistics that you quoted are exactly the kind of ways industry needs to be looking at how they're going to solve these problems as we deal with the next few years and the uncertainty and instability of the nursing workforce. So thank you for having me.
And to our audience, thank you for checking out this podcast today. You can hear more about this topic in our upcoming webinar. We have myself, Rebecca, and Linda McKinley, currently a research health scientist at the VA Hospital in Madison, Wisconsin, where we'll dig deeper into building a culture of patient safety and healthcare. Thank you again for listening today. And if you want to hear more about how Mölnlycke can help you build a culture of safety, please visit us at mölnlycke.com and reach out to us via the contact page. Thank you for your time today.